For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Final service of the Women's Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, February the 23rd, 2003. Jackie Sellers of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister of the morning.
Jackie Sellers, one of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp's family, is going to finish off the service this morning with ministry. And it's a blessing to have them living here and for her to minister this morning. And she's going to be a blessing to all of you.
Most people that meet me now can never believe that I was this really bashful wallflower for so many years. And I was one that was very content to be a wallflower. When the Lord called me, I said, "Surely not me, Lord. Can't I do nursery? Keep doing nursery. I'll clean the bathroom for it." I was real happy cleaning the bathroom. But, you know, God steadily moved me into a position that He calls all of us to do, and that's be a minister. We're all to be ministers. Amen. Tell you a little bit about me. My husband and I have been in the ministry about 28 years now. Next month we'll be married 31 years. We have 5 children, 11 beautiful grandchildren. Praise the Lord. I know you're supposed to say now, she doesn't look old enough to have 11 grandchildren. But you know, it's a definite sign that you're a grandma when you go shopping and all the other babies in the other baskets look, "Oh, there's a granny." You know, it's a sign that it's starting to tell on you. But praise the Lord. My husband and I worked 5.5 years with Teen Challenge, 23 years of pulpit ministry. My husband's been a military chaplain. He's also been a chaplain at a county hospital for several years, where he worked graveyard on the weekends in the ER most of the time. A real challenging position, but God really ministered. When we did street evangelism, it was just amazing. We didn't do much other than be on the streets all those times. We did street ministry with all of the ones. I look back now and I think, oh God, we were so young. Your grace was so sufficient. Because where we ministered was in the Barrio District of San Antonio, where no one wanted to go. And here we were, young and Anglo, going into an area of town where gang members carried guns and knives and things all the time. But yet God was so faithful. And I never thought for my safety. I look back and I never gave it a second thought, because God's grace was on us to do that at that season. We also worked for about a year in prison ministry, where my husband worked with the inmates on the inside and I worked with the wives and families on the outside. And we've been senior pastors, associate pastors, and now we're just in transition. Hallelujah. Which sometimes isn't always easy. But, you know, serving God is not always easy. It's beneficial. It's worthwhile. But it's not always easy. Sometimes I think we've done an injustice in the past, in years gone by. We let people believe that when they came to Jesus, every problem was dissolved from their life. But many times the heat of the battle just begins. Amen. You know, that we sang 2 songs a while ago. The Lord really spoke to my heart. Make me an instrument, Lord. Make me an instrument. Do what you must do with me. And then we sang, "I surrender all." But you know, we don't realize sometimes what God is going to have to do to us. Amen. We don't realize. You know, I did a study, and I won't go into all that, some years back about the olives being made into olive oil. I don't know if any of you have ever studied that, but basically, after the olives are picked, they are washed and 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 washed. Yeah, in lye. I don't know about any of y'all, but my husband's grandmother used to make lye soap. And I didn't like the looks of it. I didn't like the smell of it. And I didn't like the way it made even my hands burn. Amen. But here these olives have to be washed and washed, and then there's a process they have to go through. And the hardest part of the process is first to get ground, and then they get pressed. Ground up and press so hard that the oil within them, that you is not apparent when you look at those olives, is pressed out of them. And when it's finished, all you have is the olive and pulp. What looks like, what was originally olives does not even resemble an olive. Do you hear me? Amen? So sometimes what God brings us through, we're not at all looking like what we began at. Amen? But then, oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We can be used of God as instruments. But you know, it's wonderful to stand up here and sing, "Make me an instrument. Oh Lord, just use me. Do whatever you want to do." And we don't even realize what we're singing. You know? But praise God. You know, God wants to bless us and He wants to keep you safe. Did you know that? He wants to bless you and keep you safe. If you agree with that, say amen. All right, you agreed with me now. We got to go on. Hallelujah. Not really starting the message yet. This is just freebies. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." He has victory in mind for each of you. I know that this is a ladies' meeting, but there are men in here, and I want to encourage you to get in on it. Amen? Because the Word of God, I don't care how many Bibles they make that are gender correct, the Word of God says we are sons of God. Male sons and female sons. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. God's no respecter of persons. And I want to tell you, ladies, since this is a ladies' meeting, I want to exhort you that you are not second best because some man didn't answer the call. Do you hear me? You are not second class or second best. You are not leftovers. Jesus died on that cross for you just like He died for every man that has ever lived or ever will live. Hallelujah. And He has raised you up. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. He's made you overcomers. Sometimes we lose sight of that. The Word of God tells us that He has made us the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. When Brother Tom quoted that, I said, "Thank you, Lord. That's a confirmation again of Your Word." You know, I know it's kind of funny to think about, but I'm just a real person. What you see is what you get with me. Hallelujah. I've had all the phony I can handle. I don't know about y'all. Amen. So when God says, "I'm the head and not the tail," I can think of a lot of times in the last 18 months in particular that I can say, "I thank You, Father. When I feel pressed down, weighted more than I can handle, You said that I'm the head and not the tail." And You just excuse me for being real, but that's how I talked to my Father. I said, "Lord, I feel like the back end of a horse. But You said I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm not the rear end of this thing. I'm ahead. I'm above it. I'm not beneath it. It will not overtake me." Hallelujah. Amen? Ladies, it's time that we get the Word of God on the inside of us. I talked to you briefly the other day about getting a hold of the horns of the altar and do what we're called to do. You know, our ancestors did. Those before us did. And it's time. We've gotten very lazy in our generation. It's time again that we return to prayer and putting the Word on the inside of us so that when the pressure gets on, the Word's what comes out.
All right.
Hallelujah. Lord gives me visual pictures all the time. I said, "Lord, am I simple-minded that You have to show me pictures?" You know, you wonder sometimes. You know, He didn't answer me, so. But He gave me an illustration of that. He said, because I like to can. I used to can a lot and have vegetables, gardens and stuff. And the Lord said, "When you're canning those tomatoes, if the pressure in that pressure cooker gets too hot, fire gets too high, what happens?" I said, "Well, the lid blows off, Father." "Yeah, but what happens?" I said, "It's everywhere." "Everything's everywhere." He said, "What's everywhere?" I said, "Well, tomatoes. If I'm canning tomatoes, tomatoes, Lord." He said, "Well, what if you're canning corn or something else or green beans?" I said, "Well, it's corn or green beans." He said, "That's the way it is with My Word." He said, "When you put My Word on the inside of you and hold it on the inside of you, that when the heat from the enemy and from life gets so hot, around you, inside of you. It just feels like the pressure is built up all around you and you can't handle it. If the lid does blow off, hallelujah, what's going to come out is my word. Hallelujah. What's going to come out is my word. And that spells victory every time. Every time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, those were all freebies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. Hallelujah. You know, this camp, while you're turning there, this camp is a wonderful place. A place that people can come and be set free and delivered. And many of you ladies have received deliverance through the word this week, through the power of God. And you know what? Sometimes we lose sight and we leave here and go ahead and do whatever we've been doing all along that got us into those bondages, that opened the door for the enemy to come into our lives. And then we think, oh God, you failed. But what we need to do is see that when we get free, there's part we have to do. Amen? When you leave here free today, I encourage you to fill yourself with the Word of God. Because the Word says that when the enemy is departed, he comes back, he brings others with him, and he looks at the house again to see if it's empty and all clean and swept. Man, he says, okay, there's more room, more of us are going to move in now. But if you have it full of the Word of God, there's no room for him. No room for him to come back. Galatians 5, chapter 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That is a command. Be not entangled again. Well, hallelujah. I just put it up here. If it don't bother y'all looking at it, it won't bother me. One time I ministered, ladies, and my husband was out of town. We were pastoring, and just before the service, I was racing around. I'd done a nursing home, adult Sunday school, everything before then. And I was having to do Sunday morning services. And as I came around the corner, men, you just close your ears, okay? My nylons caught in a doorway coming in. And I mean, I had one of those, you know, really wide runners. Uh-huh. There was no time to run home and change. So it didn't bother me, you know, it's just me. So I got up and I started ministering. I saw all these teenagers. Sister Jackie, you know, and all that. I just stopped. I said, you know what? I'm nothing without Jesus. I said, just so all you teenagers and everybody else knows, I said, I am very aware that I have this runner in my nylons. You know what? And it doesn't bother me, so I'd encourage you not to let it bother you. Now, y'all can all stop whispering and talking and laughing about it, and you can go on and hear the Word of God now. Amen. So that same thing applies to this little box. Amen. So we have to fill our vessel with the Word of God. If you would, now we're going to begin the message. If you would turn to Daniel chapter 3. Praise you, Jesus. Tell me amen when you get there. You there? Praise you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your Word. Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is to give us direction and reproof and correction. It's to take us where no man has gone before. It's to lead us and guide us and preserve us. It's to keep us like all these other ministers have been talking about this weekend. I thank you, Lord, that as we come here today, Lord, that you give each and every one of us ears to hear from the Word of God. And spirits and hearts open and ready to receive from the Spirit of God. And I bind every hindrance in the name of Jesus that would try to prevent it. I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. For the Word of God will come through today. It will be clear and precise and it will complete exactly what the Spirit of God intended it to do. And we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord here and that there is none other. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Many times you'll get opportunities to worship other gods. You know, there's all kinds of gods. You know, I mean, some men have gods of football. Some women have gods of makeup and perfumes and shopping. And I have a sister-in-law, bless her heart, that is a compulsive shopper. I mean, she's many, many thousands and thousands of dollars in debt always because she's a compulsive shopper. And I love her, but she needs to be free from that thing. See, it's become a god to her. Anything that comes between you and Father God is a God to you whether you want to admit it or not. I don't care how insignificant it is to most people. I'm going to start reading at verse 10. We know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's see what the Lord has to say today about it. It says, "Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackcloth, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down in worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a fiery furnace. Now there were certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they were brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of these instruments and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I've made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" See, he was arrogant and cocky. When the enemy comes at you, that's the way he will do many times. You think your God can get you out of this one, huh? You know what my husband always says? He says, "Okay, devil, you've backed us up into a corner now. A corner that I can't get out of. Only the Spirit of God can get us out of it. So only God can get the glory. And not only that, devil, but Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my deliverer. So when you put me in that position, you're going to have to face him again." Hallelujah. Guess who doesn't like to face Jesus again? Hallelujah. Well, I lost my place. "Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound..." I already read that. 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." Hallelujah. You know, Brother Glenn, it didn't look good for him right then. It didn't look good for him. Lord already told me some of you are in situations that don't look real good for you right now. You're going through struggles that seem impossible to man. Impossible to your own understanding. But God says he's well able to deliver us. We'll only trust him. But they said, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then when Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, that's where the devil comes. He mocks you, tempts you, and then he gets mad that you don't do what he wants. Oh, God. And then all hell breaks loose. Amen. Amen, Sister Juanita. Isn't that true? Amen. So it's been happening to a lot of us. Why? Time is short. Time is short. The devil would like to mow all of us down that dare to trust God and believe God in spite of what we see, feel, or hear. "And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Now first we see that these men were men of authority. God had blessed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were raised to a place of authority. They may have even thought, okay, we're doing all right here. Ever been there? Smooth sailing. I can remember telling my husband in the last year, and a few of you that are maybe close to me have heard me say, boring sounds good. I can handle a little boring for a while. But you know, that's not what really God wants for us. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to be full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Ready for war. Ready for war. The title of this message is "The Fire That Brings Glory." Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Notice here in verse 20, that we just read, that Nebuchadnezzar, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, you know, Jewish men are relatively small usually. You know, if you happen to be from Israel, don't take offense, okay? But in stature, they tend to be small. Why would Nebuchadnezzar get the most mighty, strongest men, probably the biggest buff guys he could find, to come to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He knew something was going on. He knew he might need more than just the average Joe to come over there and to bind them up. Because I think at that point, Nebuchadnezzar had already seen the touch of God in different situations. The hand of God. And even though he didn't verbalize it, he was somewhat afraid. He was afraid to go against his own commands, and he was afraid to go for those men. Either way he went, he felt like he could have lost. But he had to stick by what he had already ordered. So he said, okay, bind them up and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Have you been there today? Have you been there recently in the fiery furnace? Amen? It's hot. I don't know about y'all, but I like air conditioning. You know, I drove through the desert quite a few times, and one time I drove with two children to California to see my daughter and son-in-law out there, and my car broke down in the Mojave Desert. And it was 122 that day. And I thought, oh, God, I never did want hell, you know. But, oh, God, I don't want hell. Oh, Lord, I don't want fire. You know, I get burned by the iron. I'm, oh, God, I feel like I turned into a five-year-old suddenly, you know. Oh, kiss my boo-boo. We don't like heat. We don't like heat. But heat has more than one purpose. Keep that in mind. Verse 21 says that these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. What do you think maybe that was for? Why did they have to dress them all up, put all this stuff on them? Anybody know what kindling is? He made sure these guys were going to burn. He put everything wrapped around them, bound them up and stuff that would go up quick. He thought, probably thought, if I must do this thing, then I want it to be over with quick. I don't want the wrath of God to come on me. I want it to be quick, done with, and over. That's how he wants to take you out. That's how he wants to take you out, Juanita. You're a woman of faith and prayer and power. She's been under attack. But the devil can't have her. He cannot destroy our health. In Jesus' name. He thought he was going to get rid of these guys. Thought it was real interesting. Let's read on. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You know, I get mental pictures. I already told you that. So I can't help but think, you see, these men went in faith. Don't you think they were human just like you and I? They had faith in their hearts. But don't you think their head was giving them some problems? I know those men's knees were knocking. I don't care how strong they were. They're still human beings. Their knees were knocking. I want you to know having a fellowship meeting like there never was. Hallelujah. But they went in faith. So what happened? I think they just got slain under the power of God. They fell down. The presence of God enveloped them. The power of God enveloped them. That's what happens in the fire if we let it. The power of God takes over. The strength of God takes over. The ability of God takes over. And the fire that's meant to consume you now will just be a thing to warm your feet. Hallelujah. Fire's good if it's used properly. Don't we like heat in our homes? We like our electric heating pads. We like our electric blankets. We like heat. Hallelujah. We like to be able to cook. Used properly, it's a benefit. Used wrong, it'll consume you. But the enemy wants to consume you. You see, over here in verse 22, it says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent. You noticed I skipped over one. I wanted to come back to it. King's command was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, that the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So not only did the fire kill these guys, but it killed the two mightiest, strongest men in his army. Don't you know Nebuchadnezzar went, oh, God, oh, what have I done? My buff guys are gone. When the enemy tries to harm you, tries to take you out, I serve notice to him that according to the word of God, what happens is the very instruments and tools used to try to take you out will be destroyed. That's not my word. It's not because I wish death on anybody, but they will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. Not maybe, they will. In Jesus' name, they will. As soon as these men were in a place of authority, here comes Slewfoot. Take them out. If you're a woman or a man of faith and prayer and power and might and dominion and walk in that authority God has given you, the enemy's out to get you. We are in all-out war. Not just in the nations of the world, but in the spirit realm more. This is war. This is war. So you see, these men fell down, I believe, under the power of God. They were bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, verse 24, and he rose up in haste. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, no. Can't you just picture it? Hallelujah. And he spake and said unto his counselors, he called all these, oh, guys, come here. I just don't know what to do. Did not we cast three men bound in the fire? Didn't we do it? And you know, I did. Did y'all double check? I told you to make it seven times hotter, didn't I? Didn't I? Wasn't this seven times hotter? I mean, it already slew my buff guys, you know. I mean, wasn't this seven times hotter? Oh, yeah, King. Yes, King. Yes. Yes. It was seven times hotter. God says, you used my perfect number. You used my perfect number. Been on the scene all the time. When the devil throws you in the fire, why are we surprised when God shows up? Because you see, he not only shows up, he was there before you got thrown in. Ready to minister to you. Ready to minister to your needs. He was there all the time. When those men were thrown in, they fell down, bound in their clothes. They were out of control. When you reach the end of yourself, many times it takes us reaching the end of ourselves before we can even get to the beginning of God. Because we try to figure everything out. My husband always says I'm like that. I try to figure all the ins and outs and all this other stuff out, you know. And we went through a situation with one of our children the last 18 months. And I mean, I beat myself up for probably 8 months. I was going, oh, God, what if I'd have done this? Maybe if I'd have done that. And I go back and I try to analyze. I said, because I don't want to go down this road again, Lord. Show me what I should have done. Blah, blah, blah. And finally just says, be quiet. Just let go of it. Let go of it. It's past. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, but I'm one of those that says, okay, wisdom says that I shouldn't just have to learn from experience. I should be able to look at things other people have gone through and learn from it so I don't have to go through it. You know, so I try to analyze and dissect so I don't have to go through it. But I overdo it. And I stop God sometimes. God's faithful. He's in the fire before we even got there. Before we even got there. Here the king, he says, hey guys, you know, I know we had them thrown in there. And we had them thrown in. It was so hot that my guys died Now, y'all console me. Isn't this correct? You're my counselors now. Tell me the truth. Didn't we throw three men in there? They said, yes, we threw three. But Nebuchadnezzar eased up a little bit closer, trying to not get too close where he'd be consumed himself. trying not to. And I don't know, guys. I don't understand this, he says. But somehow, oh, my, there's four in there. There's four men in that fire. And, oh, no, one's likened to the sons of God. One's like the Son of God in there. I don't know. How could it be? Could I have been wrong all along? Could I have been wrong? Their God is a living God? Oh, no. Am I going to be consumed too? You know, he was human too. Man, he thought it was curtains, you know. So he thinks, oh God, I'm sorry. Don't you know he was trying to repent yet not quite sure how to do it? Because he played himself up to a place of godhood in his own mind. And the princes, governors, verse 27, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Say, no power.
No power.
Say, the devil has, no power,
over me,
unless I let him.
Nor
was a hair of their head singed, neither were their clothes changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Woo, glory. You know, my husband and I, when we had just three children, we had a house fire. We had just leased this house, sold our home and leased this house, and somehow it had faulty wiring in it. And I'd run some errands and came home, and the house was up in flames. And we lost 99.99% of everything we had. A few little things I was able to get out, but most everything was gone. Basically, the clothes on our back. And the smell of that was unbelievable. I even attempted to take a little bit of laundry from the hamper in the very back of the house where the flame didn't actually get to, on the very back end. And I washed and washed and washed and washed. I tried every chemical, everything I could think of, pure Lysol, everything else I could think of. Could not get that smell out. And the flame didn't even get to the very tail end of the house. So you see, what wasn't destroyed by the flame itself was destroyed by smoke and, you know, all that. So, or the heat from it. So to hear that they didn't even have the smell of smoke amazes me. My husband can go in and pay for gasoline in a filling station. He comes back in. I go, oh. Gets in the car. Oh, man. There were chain smokers in there. Whew. You know, it really bothers me. So for the thought that they didn't even have any smell of smoke. Not a hair of their head was singed. Why? The power of God enveloped them in that fire. He was there holding them, protecting them. Why? Because they dared to trust him in spite of everything they were feeling and hearing. Every emotion was screaming at them. They dared to step out and trust him anyway. Dared to trust him anyway. We're in a battle for our lives. It's time we get serious about the things of God. And again, get a hold of those horns of the altar. And seek the face of God, because the enemy wants to destroy us. That's his job. The word says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, there's no place you can go that God's not there. None. One of the other ladies mentioned that this week. Awesome. You see, being thrown into the fire can create fear. It could create dismay. It can make ashes of you, or it can bring glory to God. It can bring glory to God. Did you hear me, ladies? Hallelujah. Don't mind me if I get a little bit loud. One time I was preaching and my husband was sitting on the front row. Just so you know, don't go too sound asleep. And he was nodding. Now, he's not here this morning. He drove all night and just got in. But he was nodding like this, trying real hard not to sleep, but he was. And I just waited for an opportune moment and, you know, in my preaching, and I just slapped the pulpit real hard and said, Hallelujah, and he was like... You know what? He never slept again when I preached. He never knew what I was going to do. Praise God. But you know, the fire was seven times hotter. We talked about it. There's a good side and a bad side to fire. We talked about that. It looks bad, and it feels bad sometimes when you get burned. You just want out. I'll be honest with you. What we've gone through the last 18 months, I tried to get God to renegotiate about ministry. I'm not proud of that, but it's the truth. You know, like our sister said, my mother used to say that, tell the truth and shame the devil. I said, oh, God, couldn't we? You know, I'll go back to cleaning bathrooms. I really don't mind. I'd gladly do it, Lord. Just, you know, couldn't we renegotiate? The pain's great, Lord. The pain of ministry sometimes is very great. And, Lord, couldn't I just bail? You know, Lord, I'm just not enough, Lord. I don't think I have enough in me. I don't think I have. And he says, don't say that about yourself. You're talking about me. The truth. Not that I'm something special. It's Jesus that's special. Without him, we're all nothing. But with him, we can be anything he wants us to be. It's that make me an instrument again. We don't like being ground up and pressed. We don't like being thrown in the fire. My grandbaby, amen, in back there. You know, in this story, I thought about something the Lord brought out to me. That sometimes, even the devil's thinking he's trying to consume you, and he's stepping over, doing exactly what God wanted. He's so dumb, he don't even know that he's doing God's will. He's exposing himself, and he's left out.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You know, being in the fire and trusting God in the heat and in the thick of things can even destroy some of those vessels of Satan that put you there. I already talked about that, but God wants me to reiterate that. And this is a perfect opportunity. I know by the Spirit, and I know in reality, that people have been speaking word curses and things against this camp and against individuals of this camp, and I don't know who they are, but I'm telling you, if you're here today in the name of Jesus, I say you better repent, you better turn around, and you better get it straight, or you will be one of those destroyed by throwing the people of God into the fire. You will be destroyed, says the Lord. That's not my word, that's the word of Almighty God. God is not willing that any should perish. But if you choose the ways of evil, the ways of Satan, maybe you have been a Christian, but you've stepped over into spiritual witchcraft, speaking things that should not, because the word says life and death is in the power of the tongue. You should be speaking life to your brothers and sisters, not death, not attack, not messing around with anything, not voodoo, not witchcraft, not anything against the children of God, or you will be destroyed. You will be destroyed. Today is the day of salvation, says the Lord. The same fire can make believers out of the heathens as they look at you and see that other man, that fourth man in the fire with you. You see, we don't see that in results sometimes. You know, many of us pray for a long time for our family members. We say, oh God, save our son, save our daughter, save my parents, save those others around me. But we don't realize what it's going to take. But when you're willing to be that instrument of God's use, and you do get thrown into the fire, you do get thrown in. The fact that you do it willingly trusting God, even though your knees are knocking, even though you're scared, ladies, you're scared, men. Men aren't supposed to be scared, but I know you get scared. You get thrown into that fire. The very fact that you trust God, and when you come out of it, those that have been watching you, that you've been praying for, even those heathen will be turned in Jesus' name. Amen. They'll be turned to the knowledge and saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because that fourth man was in the fire with you all along. And they know there's no way you could get out of it. Sister Doreen, there's no way to get out of some stuff without Jesus. Just in no way. It just ain't going to happen. Pardon my South Texas colloquial expression. It's just not going to happen without the power of the Lord. Verse 27 told us about deliverance. We found that fire not only consumes and destroys, but it warms you and allows things good in your life. Like even the chaff to be burned up. Woo! We don't like that sifting. We don't like that burning away. You know, I went on a diet about a week ago, and I am struggling. I'm telling you. You know, all Pentecostals really like to eat. We really like to fellowship around food. Amen? Anybody bear witness with me? And you know, this is a diet that I can have all the protein I want, the complex protein. But do you know what? You know what I have wanted? Something I don't want normally. I don't even care for normally. All week long, all I wanted was a bowl of cereal. A bowl of cereal! I've had to say, Flash, no! You won't have that cereal. And I got four boxes sitting on top of my refrigerator. And my daughter gets them. I go to get a glass of water out of the refrigerator. What do I see? Cereal. We can't do what we want all the time. We have to do what's needful. We must do what's needful. Prayer is needful. Honesty is needful. Truth is needful. Not only truth will set you free, but knowing the truth is what will set you free. That's the reason we must have ears to hear. God is not willing that any should perish. But I reiterate again by the Spirit of God. If you have been speaking things against the people of God, you better repent today. Today. You don't know if that fire will consume you when you walk out the door. I'm not into preachers getting up and trying to use scare tactics to get people to the altar. But the truth is the truth. The truth is the truth. Praise you, Jesus. Don't you know that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of that? Boy, Brother Glenn, they must have looked good. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen somebody that's just been in the presence of God? Maybe for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, just caught up in the glory of God. It's like they glowed, kind of like Moses. Just glowed with the presence of God. Not only did they not smell like smoke, not only were their clothes that was meant to bind them and to be kindling about them and help them burn, they were unbound, they were loose, they were clothed, they were free, and they had the manifested glory of God on them. Woo! Hallelujah! They walked out, and don't you know people were going, oh, look at them. Look at them. They were supposed to be scooped up with a shovel. And it may be feel like to you today, ladies, that you're about to be burned to ashes. The Spirit of God says no. When the enemy comes in, we read that wrong sometimes. I like to read it like this. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard. Not when the enemy comes in like a flood. But when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned. For that is your heritage as servants of the Lord. For your righteousness is of him. It's not your own. You're bought with a price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Don't you know those devils were trembling when they come out looking full of the glory of God? Oh no. We don't want, can't you just almost hear a murmuring? We don't want those people to see how the glory of God's on them, how they're free. Oh no. People, y'all all go home. Don't stand around here and watch. No. No, don't stand around here and watch. Amen? They were shaking in their boots. I don't know about you. I'm not a devil chaser. I'll deal with the devil when I have to. You know? There's times and there's places, and praise God for this campground. Hallelujah. I've learned a lot since I've been here. We should never stop learning. Never stop learning as long as we're breathing. Sister Mildred so blessed us yesterday. Hallelujah. How old are you, Sister Mildred? Do you mind if I ask? She don't want to tell. She don't want nobody to know. I know she's getting up there.
She saw 90 a few years ago.
Do you hear that? She saw 90 a few years ago. I believe she still works. Didn't you say you still work and drive and... Why? The word. Go figure. Only God speaking the word. Isn't it speaking the word, Sister Mildred? Amen. The word's life to all your flesh. And health to all your bones, says the word of God. Oh, the glory these guys must have experienced. We'd all like to be delivered out of the fire. But see, sometimes it's needful that we go in and through the fire. It's needful not only for us to experience the presence and the reality of the living Almighty God in our lives that's able to secure us and keep us and bring us through temptations and trials and tribulations, but it's needful for the salvation of others around us. All we think is when the heat gets hot. Now, I'm speaking from experience, okay? I'm talking to Jackie, too. When the heat gets hot, it's like, oh, God, deliver me. Get me out of this, God! I want out now. Yeah. God says, it's okay, daughter. It's okay, son. You'll make it. You'll make it. And you don't know how. I'm telling you, you don't know how sometimes. But see, if we knew the ins and outs and how he's going to do it, we'd start getting haughty, thinking we were as good as God. He says his ways are higher than our ways. Aren't you glad his ways are higher than ours? My little old finite mind and comprehension is so limited. If I had to rely just on that, I'd be in big trouble. Would these people have believed about God being the true God? Had these three men in a high position, called of God, were not willing to not bow down to idols and worship false gods and be willing to actually die. You see, they didn't know if they'd make it or not, but they figured, well, if we die, it's better we go on to be with the Lord. That's right. They knew they'd make it one way or another. They went in there willing to die. But God was there. God was there. See, salvation and lives and people are changed for eternity when we go through fires trusting God. When we go through trusting God. Verse 27 and 28. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of smoke had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God. Even your enemy can call the Lord blessed because of what you go through. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. See, he changed his mind real quick. He changed his word real quick, Brother Glenn. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Verse 29 says, therefore, I will make a decree, this is the king, that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon, right in the midst of all the enemies. Here they were already in a rulership position. But because they trusted God in spite of the circumstances, would not bow their knee, Brother Glenn. They wouldn't bow to the power of Satan and those false gods. And they dared to trust, went through the fire, came out with the glory of God. He changed all the decree he'd made, and he exalted them. You know, ladies, you've probably heard the term, you've got to be pressed down to be lifted up. It happens sometimes. We couldn't appreciate the mountaintop if we hadn't walked through the valley. You know, I could stand up here and tell each one of you different things, and I could say, Sister Cheryl, I know just how you feel, honey. You know, I could start sympathizing, and I could say, oh, honey, I know how you feel. But you know, I'd be lying through my teeth. You know, the truth is, I can love her, I can sympathize with her, I can pray for her. But she's my sister, and I have no idea what all she goes through because I don't walk in those shoes. Amen? It's real easy to get over in judgment. But we don't know what each other goes through. We don't know what kind of fire each of us is in. But God does. And he was there before you were thrown in. He was there before you were thrown in. Turn over to Isaiah 43. I'm sorry I'm taking so long. Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, notice that's plural. God knew there wouldn't just be one river in your life. There's going to be lots of rivers. Lots of waters you got to go through. They shall not overflow thee. Neither when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame be kindled upon thee. This is a promise of Almighty God to us who would dare to believe. Isaiah 24:15 says, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. We're supposed to give glory to God in the midst of the fire. Say, Lord, I glorify your name. Lord, we glorify your name this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, you deserve all the glory. I love that song. Lord, you deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You may have gotten deliverance this weekend, but if you don't resist him, fill your house full of the word, then he will come back, and the end result of you will be worse. Deliverance is wonderful. It's fantastic. Praise God for it. We need deliverance. We need to keep being delivered, but we need to learn to resist. And a lot of the times we'd like to say, it's all the devil, the devil, the devil. No, we have flesh we need to crucify. Just like me with that refrigerator and that cereal sitting on top. Simple illustration. But I'm telling you, I wanted that cereal. That's so dumb. I don't even usually eat cereal. It's not like chocolate, ladies. Can't have that either. Praise God. Luke 10:19 says, God has given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, say nothing,
nothing,
shall by any means hurt you. Hebrews 1:7 tells us that he ministers, as our ministers are flames of fire. Ooh, the fire of God from the inside of us can minister to our sisters and our brother and those hurting. The job God's given me these last few months, I minister to women all the time. I have women come in that their husbands have just left them for a younger woman, and they have two or three little kids, you know, and they don't know what to do. And I said, Lord, if I don't minister any other way, I'm going to do it one by one. And my boss knows I do it. And he's okay with it. I feel like as an employee, I need to do my work and do it right. That's the best example I can be. But the job that I'm on has enough time in between clients that I'm able to just reach across, grab their hands and pray. Say, do you know Jesus? Jesus can be that present help in time of trouble and need. He's the one that can get you through where there is no other way. Sherry's husband, Chris, just went to war. He left a week ago. But Jesus is the one that can keep Chris. Jesus is the one that can take care of Sherry while he's gone. He can be that present help. There's a scripture that says he can be everything we have need of, lady. He can be our father, our mother, our brother, our sister, our husband, or our wife. He can fill any void that's there, if we'll let him. Spirit of God's a gentleman. So we need to be flames of fire for good. For good. For good. Praise you, Jesus. Stand to your feet. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Another side of you that's really been having a hard time. You've not only gone through the fire, but because of the fire, you feel dry. You feel like the presence of God has even left you. But he hasn't. He hasn't. He hasn't. Spirit of God's here to minister to you. You need to repent. You need prayer in your body. The fire of the Holy Ghost that sets the captives free, that breaks every yoke of bondage, is here. Jesus is here. The blood of Jesus is quite enough. The blood of Jesus is enough. Lord told me to do something. You can look this up later. And as she plays this, if you feel need for prayer, I want you to come down. But I'm going to read a scripture. I've never done this quite like this before. But that's okay. It's about Jesus. It's not about Jackie. He told me to turn to Ezekiel 37. And he said, this campground has been under attack. People on this campground have been under attack. Our pastor has been under attack. Staff have been under attack. Now we need to stand against the power of the enemy. And like I said, if you participated in that, you better repent today. You better repent today. If you participated in any way, you better get in or you better get out. For the fire of God will consume you. But he told me in this scripture, it talked about the valley of dry bones. And he said this campground, even though it had the Spirit of God, is not the original vision that God gave Brother Glenn. It hasn't taken place yet. And he said as believers and those standing with him that we're to prophesy to those dry bones. Prophesy to those dry bones, says the Lord. Verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. You may be here today and you may feel like you're in a dry place and death all around you. No life around you. You may feel that way. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And he has said unto me again, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and beholding a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then saith he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Hallelujah. You know, in the battle, many get slain. Many get slain. But God wants us to live. God wants us to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And that's what this camp is meant to do, is to declare the works of the Lord. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We're an army of the Lord. An army of the Lord. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, O bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise you, Jesus. Now, if you need prayer, I want you to start coming on down here. I'm going to have some ladies come and help me pray. But while they're coming, I want the rest of us to prophesy to the dry bones that have tried to be in this place. And for life to come back on those bones. Life of God back on those bones. And that vision will come to pass, Brother Glenn, in the name of Jesus. It will happen in the name of Jesus. God didn't give it to you for naught. The enemy's tried to take you down. He's tried to take your vision away. He's tried to destroy the plans and purposes of God. But he cannot have it, says the Lord. He cannot have it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare life to this campground. Life to the dry bones. Life to the dry bones of the saints. Life to this grave that Satan's tried to make it. Life to it in the name of Jesus. Flesh to come back on those bones to come together in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And the breath of God to be revisited here. The breath and life of very God himself to be visited here in the name of Jesus. And every weapon of Satan to be destroyed this day in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I declare it. Life again, and the army of God will succeed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Just let that Spirit of God come up out of your belly again like fresh living water. And though you pass through the water, you'll not be taken in. And though you pass through the fire, you'll not be consumed, says the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh,
this is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.